Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney on this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon. I want to do a short prayer for my good friend LaDonna and Marcina. I do want to do just a little short prayer because I promised them that I would, and I got to do it. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as humble as I know how. First, thanking you, then praying you, then lifting you up, thanking you for another day above the ground. Lord God, I ask you to bless LaDonna. Bless her right now. Touch her mind, touch her heart, touch her soul, touch her spirit, touch her lips, and touch her hands. Touch her right now in your son Jesus' name. Touch Marcina. Touch her mind, heart, soul, spirit, hands, and lips. Touch her like you've never done it before. And give them strength. Give them more wisdom and understanding of your word. Let that be done in your son Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen, amen, and amen. We just thanking you right now and praising your name. But I tell you see, black people built this country. Throughout history, black activists has turned the tides and the city and the country. Every single day, we see examples of black history with black folks. We are in such a compromising position today because we allowed ourselves to be here. One of the things that LeBron James said last week, and they jumped all over him, black folks, you see, they you know, that's their job. Their job is to jump all over him. He said black people are their own enemy. We think we know everything. We think we're the smartest people in the world. We think that whatever we say is the right way. But what he was saying was simple. You know, he was basically saying black people helps the enemy. And that's how we become our own enemy. Beautiful saying. Oh, they jumped all over you. Oh, he said this, he said that. But in reality, what he was saying was the truth. I know black people can't handle the truth, you see. They can't handle the truth, no matter what they say and what they do. They can't handle the truth. That's why we're in this compromising position we're in today. And let me say this. People will support stuff that will contradict the future of their children. They will support people for doing stuff that they know is wrong. And if you stand up to white folks will go out and get them a couple of black folks. This you're saying is wrong. See, that's where Shaq come in. You got that Stephen A. Smith, Barkley, even Shannon Sharp. Of all the people in the world, I would have never suspected that he would come up and say what he said. But you know, money talks. You cannot be motivated by money. These evil, wicked people are coming, and they're coming after you, whether you like it or not. I've been telling people for years here in the I don't live in Benton Harbor. I live in Benton Township. And everybody asks me the same question. Why do you fight so hard for the residents of Benton Harbor? I fight hard for them because they're unable to fight for themselves. I was watching this movie, The Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven. I was watching that movie. And it was a funny movie because these seven guys came to help these guys, and they didn't want their help. They were being oppressed, and they really didn't care because they didn't have to do nothing but be oppressed and work like they did. So that was really huge. You know, he said in the movie, it was maybe 30 years ago, maybe 40. He said, you can't help people who won't help themselves. And that's Bensonhauer. And that's the reason I fought all the over 25 years fighting for them. You see, if Bensonhauer, if we had any smart people here, one of the things about Bensonhauer, they don't have smart people here. Their level of intelligence is below because Whirlpool runs this city. They're behind everything that bad has happened in this city. They're behind. See, they did what they call a feasibility report, and they know what these people do, and they know that they will do exactly nothing. They'll do all this talking, which means nothing to nobody, and think it's all right. Well, look, I want to talk about something that occurred on Friday. And my phone been jumping off the hook. People been calling, telling me that the new finance director for the city of Benton Harbor has resigned. And his reason is they will not give him access to the paperwork he needs to balance the books. In other words, they had two sets of books. He's not going to say this because he feels that this is going to affect him when he go get another job. He's not going to tell. He'd rather see the residents of Benton Harbor suffer behind it, knowing that these people are stealing money from them. But the people don't care about if they like you, it's all right for you to steal. It's all right for you to take from my children. It's all right for you to do this. This is what they believe. Now, you got an Alex Little. He in his 80s. You got Ellis Mitchell. He's about 85. Then you have this Marcus Muhammad guy. All working together against the people, but the people are not smart enough to see that they're working against them. You see, they just don't get it. Sometimes black people, they don't rock them. That's why I don't ask black people to do nothing for me. Yeah, I made the mistake asking a couple of people for a couple of quotes, you know, today. But you know what? After I thought about it, only one of them I'm going to rely on. Only one. And I know I ain't got to worry about him. I'm not going to worry about him because I know he'll do it. But this is the position we're in. We have this is our second financial manager that has resigned. And the community is not saying a mumbling word. They're saying nothing. I know that they don't know because their minds are underdeveloped. When your mind is underdeveloped, you don't understand this. That's why on my show I always talk about where are the smart people? Where are the intelligent people? Where are the people that are willing to stand up and take this thing to a whole different level? Where are they? If you don't want to stand up for yourself, stand up for your children and stop crying. You know, it amazed me what black people do and then cry about it. That amazed me. I mean, you know what to do. You know right from wrong. But you support wrong? Come on. Stop it. Then we out here crying when something happened out here in the streets. We're crying like babies and everybody feeling sorry. No, I don't feel sorry for you. I don't. You know, I'm through. Yeah, this is it for me. You know, hands up, don't shoot. I'm through with my black brothers and sisters, you know, in Benton Harbor. Around the country, no, because they supported. They came out. They did what they supposed to do. People in Benton Harbor, when I was in prison, you see, only people I got letters from when I was in Benton Harbor was my group. You know, I got 25,000 letters from people all around the country. More than people they get in a whole year, people. 2 years. But my thing is this. Sometimes you have to throw it in. I remember my family said, why do you help these people? You know, and my thing is that the mission was ordained by God in the first place because I never could have did all the things that I could have, that I have accomplished. You know, the juvenile lifer law, that was huge. All these guys that was under 18 was being released and being rescinded. And I put a lot of time, a lot of money into that. The court-appointed attorney system, we redid that. We redid it. But now it's almost back to normal. Stuff like that. And I got to talk about all the guys that we have gotten out of prison, you see. I'm going to close that down after this year. I'm going to close that down also. Because I'm going to deal with just our children. That's it. And we have to understand the struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor. This is a case in point, one that holds on numerous of lessons for the American people. See, the fight in Benton Harbor is a war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. This is war over whether the people, black folks, will have prosperity, democracy, clean and safe water, or live in poverty under the heels of open corporate rule. It's here. You see, you got to understand that everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. We have to say this. That is so, so important because the fight is there. Nobody would have been able to get Biden office, the governor's office, to move like we got them to move. Nobody. Nobody would have been able to get them to move like we got them to move. Nobody. You know, it wasn't Reverend Pinckney. It wasn't our Benton Harbor Community Water Council. It was God. It was his work. He is fully, fully in charge of that. That was his work. We understood the problem because he gave us the knowledge and the wisdom to stand up to these people. It wasn't easy. They attacked from all angles. You had white people attacking us. You had black people attacking us. You had everybody attacking us because they didn't think that black people deserve clean, safe water. You know, why should they have clean, safe water? Why should Reverend Pinckney have knowledge about this, and why should he help the people? They're not going to help him. If he needed them, they're not going to help. This is what they do. You have to put all that to the side. My mission for this community is basically over because I'm just dealing with our children right now. That's what I'm going to do. You see, I got it in my mind how I'm going to do it. And, you know, people have been calling and calling and calling. And like I tell them, you know, that party's over. You didn't want them. When I offer you help, after I gave you help, you didn't want to come back and help nobody else. This is the mentality that we're dealing with here in the city of Benton Harbor. I keep saying this, where are all the smart, intelligent people that were supposed to be here? I haven't met many of them, if there's any at all. I have not met any of them. Nobody could be that stupid. Nobody could still be out here drinking that contaminated water. They're saying it's all right. They said it was all right at first because you're black. When you're black, it's all right to drink contaminated water. You see, because they don't care. They don't care if you die from kidney disease, because they're never going to say it was because of the water. You die from kidney disease, liver disease, heart disease, and even you have brain tumors from the lead in the water. But who really cares? When black people don't care, nobody cares. They want to honor people, look up to people that do nothing. When you're not doing, you can tell the people that's doing something. You know, they're not looking for glory. They're not trying to find a camera to get pictures taken, trying to be in the news and all this kind of stuff. They're not doing that. You see, what we have to do, we have to make sure they understand that there are some people who are willing to stand up for what is right. That's the bottom line. You have to stand up for what is right. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You see, now, the second director of finance resigned on Friday. He left. He gave a resignation and everything. It's the same formula. These guys have been playing with the money for years and getting away with it. And these guys is not going to take the fall for these guys, you see. But government on their side, when you have government on their side, sometimes they look the other way. But when they want you, they'll come back and get you. But right now, they're looking the other way. They don't care how much money is stolen from the residents of Benton Harbor. They don't care. Here I live in Benton Township. And I did care. I did. But now I'm moving on. I'm heading in a whole different direction. And it got to be done for our children. We can no longer sit around and continue to do exactly nothing and think it's all right. My problem is we continue to cry like babies. We cry like babies and don't want to do nothing. Or they're going to come after me. You can't ask nobody in this town to do something. They're so scared that they're going to come after them if you do something, if they do anything. How stupid is that? They don't come after you anyway. Afraid to open their mouth. I mean, all the hell that we have been through. All the hell that we have been through. I know freedom is acquired by conquest, not by guilt. It must be pursued constantly and responsibly. Freedom is not an idea located outside of man, nor is it an idea which become a myth. It is rather an indispensable condition for quest for human completion. We have to understand it's of human completion. That's what it's about. That's where we at. We're at war. And just few of us fighting, and then you got those that fighting on their side. Man, I just don't get it. Maybe it's just me. You see, all the hell we have been through, all the hell, over 450 years, over 450 years, torture. They tortured us. They did everything they could to us. Torture, beat, raped, harm, raped the men and the women. And we got the nerves to want to be like them. We are sick. They know we sick. They know that we are a sick race to be. But remember this. All that this goes on is less than 1% of the population. Remember that. That's important. Because the way they do it, they flash it all on the news. It's over 50% of the population. But that's not true. What's going on, the drive-by shooting, all is less than 1% of the population of the black people. And you have to understand that. That is really, really important. I just don't see how someone can be a sellout in a sambo with all the hell we done got. I don't see how a woman can respect a man or a man can respect a woman that's a straight-up sellout sambo. I can't see it. I can't, you know, but that's you. That's why you're sitting around here crying every day about, you know, what they're doing to you, the court system itself. Look at the court system. Look at it. It's a disgrace. That is one place. The justice system is a core government service. It is supposed to resolve disputes for the entire community. It's like we pay for fire protection. It's supposed to resolve. It's never going to resolve, man, because they know that we're not going to fight back. We'll fight each other, but we're not going to fight back. We'll fight each other over nothing because they got us this way. This is the system. What happened to Tyree Nichols? They're going to have laws to check? I don't see it. It's the system. You got to change this whole system, you see. And that is not going to happen. They're not going to change because they bringing in some new folks. They're bringing in some new folks right now. And that's what they're doing to replace us. And the thing is, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. I'll never see justice in my lifetime. It's unfortunate. But it is what it is. We're better than this. We're stronger than this. You know. But the intelligent people have to stand up for other people. And that's what we won't do. We won't go and make the supreme sacrifice for the future of our children and community. We rather sit back and look stupid and let them do what they've been doing. It's the same old thing. And here's the thing, stupidity is contagious. First, it destroys you and attacks your children. And then it attacks their children. Stupidity. It's contagious. And that is what happened here in the city of Benton Harbor. I've never been in a community that is stupid as the residents have been. They're about as stupid. And then Whirlpool know that. Whirlpool Corporation know how stupid the residents of Benton Harbor is. Because nobody, they would not try this on anybody, but they have tried on Benton Harbor and to be successful. It's unfortunate is what it is. And this is what I want to tell to all the parents. Parents need to make sure their children are healthy, safe, and equip them with the skills and resources to be successful. Now, listen, a mother and a father. That's parents, mother and a father. Even if the father, they don't live together, you as a father, you have an obligation. You see, don't be running around after the boy that killed somebody or got killed or got my baby, you know. You have an obligation to protect that person, you know. And you got to equip them with the skills and resources to succeed as an adult and transmit basic culture views to them. Parents offer their children love, acceptance, appreciation, encouragement, guidance. Children are a blessing to parents, but children care is something that many parents struggle with. As a parent, you need to make sure that your child is taken care of and safe at all times. You have to do this. And teach our children, when you 12 and 13, know where your child is. Oh, I know you at work. Sometimes you can't. Know where your child is. You see, girls now having babies at 13 and 14, and they're giving them a baby shower. Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know, stop all this crazy stuff that we be doing, stuff that don't make sense. We got to build this thing up. And just like I said earlier, we have to make sure that we're doing everything we need to do to be successful. I tell you the truth. A girl told me on Facebook that she don't care about nothing that happens in the city of Venice. She cared for the people that went to school with her. I was the stupidest thing I ever heard. She said, she don't even care about her own children. You're willing to let somebody destroy your own children because you went to school with somebody. That's how stupid this community is. This is one of the stupidest communities in the world. I'm going to say this. It is. Nobody will allow what they got away with to get away. Then after they leave office, they come around like now they want to fight against the people that's in, the new people come in office, but they do it like undercover. Man, how stupid are we? It amazed me on what we're doing. And you're supposed to be able to go to a courthouse and get justice. You'll never get justice inside the city of Ben Nava, being a black person, because they know they don't have to give it to you. They know that. They know that they do not have to give a black person justice, and they nothing they're going to do. I had them on the ropes. I had them. I was using the Ali Shep on them. They never met a black man like me. They never met a black man who could stand up to them. Boy, and then what they did, they went out and got them some black folks to help fight against me. Yeah, they lost just like that. I don't know how to lose. I've been fighting this battle all my life. And I've been, you know, and I'm winning. I know how to win, you know. I know how to win. I know what we need to do to win. But I believe strength is in numbers. That's why I don't deal with people here in the city of Benson Harbor. I don't deal with them, you know. I'm through with them. Don't call me for any reason. I don't want you calling me. You see, people want, whenever they want something, they want to call. No, don't call me. Don't call me. Because I don't want to have, if I can help it, I don't want not one of y'all calling me. Because what you have done is a disgrace to God out here. They letting guys all in the church molesting kids and everything, women and the whole thing, and they think it's all right. What kind of mess is that? God stole a whole radio station. So then he knew how dumb this community is. He stole a whole of that radio station. When Charles Kelly died, this guy went out and outmaneuvered everybody else so he could take over the radio station. Didn't pay a penny for this. Not a single dime. And walk around and saying who could be on the radio saying who can't be on there. And you people sit around here and support some mess like that. You were ridiculous. Not only that, he used to be a police officer. He retired as a corporal and getting lieutenant pay right today. Stealing from the community. This guy Ryan Singleton, Commissioner Ryan Singleton. You see him? And you can tell him I said it too. Low life, scumbag, because he knows how stupid the residents of Benson Harbor really is. He knows they're stupid, dumb, don't want to do nothing. And that's what they count on. They count on exactly that. Stole the whole radio station from the community. He makes the decision who'll be on the radio and haven't paid a damn for the radio station. Not a nickel. A disgrace. Unbelievable. Well, let me talk about the day is Monday, McDonald's Monday. We do not buy any fast foods, Mickey D's, McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, all the most, Taco Bell. We don't buy no fast food carrots. Tuesday, no lottery ticket. Wednesday, no Walmart. Thursday, no gas. None. Friday, don't go get your nails done, your toenails done. Don't go out and buy this fake hair. Don't go out and buy all this stuff. Don't spend your money with buying Chinese food. Don't do none of that stuff. We're going to boycott. I know people are listening. I don't expect people in Benton Harbor to do nothing. You know, they do what white people say. Whatever white folks say, that's what Benton Harbor people do. They, you know, they don't know no better because they level of education. That's what it is. They haven't never studied critical thinking. But that's crucial. Take care of your children. And on that note, let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Tyres himself. He's going to give us a lesson in history because I want to know, this is what I want to know. Why are there not as many black doctors today? What is the reason why we do not have that many black doctors? Dr. Tyres, are you there?
Yes, sir. Well, that's a powerful question, loaded question, and has different parts to it. One, because black people, everyone listening on this phone, every black person in America, for the most part, haven't shown love or gave a damn about black doctors and basically pissed on black doctors and took them for granted. The black doctors are the ones who've been looking out for them and prolonging their life. But remember, it used to be taught that if you really wanted a doctor, you wanted a white doctor. And if you really wanted to be top-notch, you wanted a white Jewish doctor. If you wanted a lawyer, you wanted a white lawyer. And if you wanted a really top lawyer, then you wanted a white Jewish doctor. So we have to understand that mentality is still there. But what we fail to forget is that when your history is a mystery, you don't know who the hell you are. When your history is a mystery, you don't know who the hell you are. So you can't claim greatness. You can't claim pride. You can't claim self-esteem. And I'll say that again. If when your history is a mystery, you don't know who the hell you are, so you cannot even say you're proud. You cannot even say that you have dignity. You can't even say that you're somebody because all of that is a lie. All of that is a lie because every single race based their pride, self-esteem, on their landmass and on their history and on their culture. The Henry Clark spelled it out time and time again. If you can't claim a landmass, if you can't claim a history, and you can't claim a culture, then you are a nobody on this world, and therefore you will be treated like a nobody. And because we have been taught to reject our history, to reject our greatness, that's why we are nobodies. During the whole Biden administration, they have not used the word him or the Indian chick from India. Kamala Harris have not used the word black. They have not talked about black issues or addressed black issues, period. Nothing. It's all a smokescreen. So when you as black people have been tricked and brainwashed and suckered, you will use words like people of color, which is stupid and ignorant. You will use everybody, stupid, ignorant. When you are going to say black and brown, stupid, ignorant, those are terms from them. Black and brown don't mean a damn thing because the brown are getting down. The brown got more rights than you have. People of color, other colors, have more rights than you have. But by design, we're stupid by nature, and by nature, in terms of the environment that we've been brought up in. And that's why they can do movies like Black Mafia Family, which teach kids to shoot their other kids in the back of the head. When you have Snow, which are movies written by white directors, white producers, who are talking about make-believe black people, black environments, so that we will start acting like that, so we will destroy ourselves, so they can collect our resources, which is our land and our history. That's why now the Metropolitan Museum in New York admits now that the starting of civilization started with black people in Africa, particularly Egypt. Egypt was a black civilization, period, and you got the Arab invaders trying to steal our history because they saw white people do it. Now they're trying to do it. There is no Arab who's from Egypt. There is no Arab from Egypt. All they're doing is occupying occupied land. They're being born on occupied land, but they had nothing whatsoever to do with the history, period. Nothing whatsoever to do with the history. When the Arabs came in 640 AD and during the Hegira for Muhammad, that's when they really learned about Egypt. And what did they wind up doing since they couldn't take it over? They started enslaving the Africans. They started enslaving black people. So you say, As-salamu alaykum, but then they take them. You say, As-salamu alaykum, but then they take them. They've been taking your black brothers and sisters since 640 AD to 2023. So in 2023 of February 6th, the Arab slave trade is still in effect. The Arab trade state has never stopped. So anybody who's practicing Islam or call themselves a Muslim, then you have to call out that religion out. You have to call them out that they do not love Muhammad because Muhammad loved his Ethiopian open uncle. They do not love Muhammad because Muhammad loved Bilal. They do not love Islam because if they loved Islam, then they would be to treat the descendants of Islam like they loved them and cared for them instead of enslaving them. These are dogs that came out of Persia in those sand-based countries who showed no love for Allah or the people of Allah. Yes, I will say that because I could back it up. Go into the Quran and look at the word when they talk about describing this Muhammad. Yeah, there's not a picture of him, but there's a description of him. It's the same description that they would use to describe Bilal. And Bilal, we know, was an Ethiopian ambassador who came to Medina, and then they enslaved them to hear cases. Yes, he was Ethiopian. People forget that the Hegira was Muhammad running to Ethiopia, running to Africa. So we have to start getting it right. So we have to stop being ashamed of saying black because that's where it's at. So when we look at the Arabs, when we look at the Chinese didn't come over here on slave ships. The Chinese came over here to form a relationship with white people. They came in for the gold rush, and then they worked on the train line, putting down the train tracks along with other blacks. But the Chinese went to the Supreme Court and mandated that they would never be associated with the Negro, with the African, with the black. And you want to say people of color? Have you not read The Color Curtain by Richard Wright? Have you not read The Color Curtain by Richard White? When the African people pulled all the other colored nations of the world together at the Bandung Conference, and then they started being murdered because they knew that most of the world, that 98% of the world, was people who had some melanin, and only 2% was missing the melanin, that they didn't want them waking up, and they did that. And those people who used to, Asians, turned their back on the African. The Arab and Asians turned their back on the Africans and enslaved them. And we're still dealing with that today. So let's get the history on the way. So now we see that the Chinese come over, and what do they say? We have to take this to the Supreme Court. So the Japanese come over. They didn't come over in those slave ships. They came over here to get land and to get wealth, to get money. And then when they were treated like black people, they were given reparations. So the Chinese were given reparations. So you talk about your colored people. So you got your Arabs and you got your Asians, your Chinese and your Japanese. Then if you want to go to those of India, they didn't even bring them over until after the Civil Rights Bill when we were protesting that to increase the number of African Americans in the medical schools, and they refuse. They said, if you want some darkies in your medical school, well, you can get them from India. That's when they pulled over these Indians. When they pulled them over and brought them in here. And what did you do? Nothing. And today now, you go see doctors, you can't even understand what they're saying. But what do you say? Do you say, I would like an African-American doctor, would you do like they did to build a Detroit Medical Center? Did you know that the Detroit Medical Center was so racist that they were not going to be even allowed to be built? And a doctor named Dr. Lionel Swan met with Lyndon B. Johnson and told them how racist Detroit was. And Lyndon B. Johnson told the Detroit Medical Center, well, if you don't have any black doctors, then we can't give you the federal monies to build a Detroit Medical Center. And then overnight they met, and then they pulled all these highly gifted black doctors and put them on staff because the black people concerned enough, cared enough. But we've been taught not to support each other, not to love each other, not to elevate each other, that we keep following Meritorious Manumission. If you look up the works of Dr. Claude Anderson and in terms of black labor, white wealth, then you will see that we were brought here for labor, that the whole civil rights movement was about labor in terms of controlling economic and wealth, because when Martin Luther King was excommunicated by the black church, when Martin Luther King was kicked out of the black church in terms of the black six and could not preach in any black church other than the shrine of the Black Madonna, that showed you how we have sold out. Yes, let's get this story right about Martin Luther King. All these niggas now who are coming up around and talking about Dr. King, all you bastards, if you're still alive, you're all bastards and BITs, because during the last 2 years of King's life, you abandoned him. He was broke. He had to be living off money that was donated by a dentist, by Ozzie Davis and others. When he died, his wife was broke. The money he got from the Nobel Peace Prize, he gave to your organizations to help you out, SNCC. He gave money to help you out, Rainbow. He gave money to help you out. NAACP gave money to help you out. He used up his money on you Negroes. And then when he said it's time to switch from civil rights to human rights, because we can use toilets now, we can sit at countertops now. No, what did we do? Oh, King, you're doing too much. King, remember, you got to remember, you Martin, you're not Malcolm. King, we're doing good right now, King. And King said, no, we got to do the poor people march right. We didn't even have anything to do with the March on Washington. You know that. King told him, he said, we didn't have anything to do with the March on Washington. That's why Kennedy called us to the Carlisle Hotel, all of us black six, gave us $250,000 and said that the news media and the newspapers will make us leaders of the march. And then that way we would take it over from the grassroots people. And what they were doing, the grassroots people were talking about what? Jobs, voting rights, being treated with respect. The same thing they're talking about right now in 2023 about voting rights, jobs, being treated with respect. Nothing has changed. King went after to do what the people had really wanted to do because the young people had talked to him, King, and King loved young people, and they checked King. They said, if you're preachers and y'all not doing it right, why do you expect us to do it right? King told the young people, you know what, violence doesn't accomplish anything. You know what the young people told King? Well, if that's true, Dr. King, then why are they using violence in Vietnam? Why are they using violence in Korea? Why are they burning up? You tell us don't throw a Molotov cocktail, but look how they're burning up the jungles and the forests of Korea. How are you telling us to use nonviolence when they want us to be violent against people who haven't done nothing to us? What did Muhammad Ali says? Why I'm going to go all the way overseas to somebody I don't know who never did me wrong and never called me nigger and try to kill them when you're trying to kill me right here in America, when you my oppressor in America, when you're the one who keep me from injustice? So we have to make sure our history is right. And when we hear people not telling our history right, then we know that's who we should fight. When we hear people not telling our history right, that's who we should fight. when we hear people not telling our history right, that's who we should fight. So we got the Arabs, we got the Indians, we got the, and that's all with the Pakistanis, we got all of them. And then don't think about, can't let the Mexican off the hook, because the Mexican now, remember, Maquista meant mixed of Indian and African, Indian and African. And then that's also Chicano, which is a mixture of Indian and African. And then all of a sudden now when they start marrying into the white Latin, remember, it was the Spaniards. It was the Spaniards that started the slave trade for the Europeans. Remember, the Arab slave trade was 500 years old before the white man got involved. The Arab was doing slave trade 500 years before the Europeans got involved. And then the Spaniards came over here and started slavery. And then those Spanish who now want to seem like they more white than they are Indian or black, then they want to mistreat us. And what they're being offered benefits if they side with the Republicans, if they side with white society against the blacks, then they're going to be given benefits. They get now, they come over, they can get your SNAP card, they can get your bridge card, they can get some rental assistance, they can get some housing. Boy, and you've been here 400 years and you still begging and trying to ask for it. You see, so what happened is you talk about people of color. There's no people of color standing up for you. There's no other people, other races, brown races standing up for you. There's no people with alphabets standing up for you. They don't give a damn about you. How would you do in your bedroom have anything to do with my human rights or with my civil rights? No, you didn't do a damn thing. But when you were in your bedroom, we were out there dying on the streets. We were out there getting water holes down. Our mothers were being beaten. Our mothers were being chewed up by dogs. Our mothers were being egg slammed across in their head, thrown against walls, thrown on the ground. Mothers and grandmothers. No, you were not there. They brought the Indians over to take over medicine so that they would be a black face. But the black people have not spoken up. When you go to a hospital, say, I want a black doctor. When you go to a doctor's office, I want a black doctor. Just to say it, just to say it. Well, we don't have any. Then why not? Well, we can do this. And not only that, you have to now find out and say, I want to see a doctor, because the businessmen hate doctors so much that they're going to send you a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner. And now the governor was tricked, but she fired the people. Now listen to me. The governor fired the people that made her sign a bill so that nurses could work in the operating room without supervision from doctors. Nurses are now in the operating room as of January 1st, operating room, working without the supervision of a doctor. You can be in having an operation, a major operation, and there's no doctor to be found. It's only a nurse giving you anesthesia. It's only a nurse giving you anesthesia. You need to find out who brought that bill forward. You need to find out who pushed that to the governor, and you need to vote them out of office. You need to start speaking their name, bringing it to the press, so that the press will see on these people who put your life in danger, put you at risk. That's what we have to call out. We need to start calling out, look, we want black doctors. That's why you don't see black doctors, black engineers. And then you have these weak politicians. Remember, the politician is to be polite to white people and not do what's right. The politician is supposed to be polite to white people and not do what's right. He's supposed to sell you out. She's supposed to sell you out. How it is that Dr. Claude Anderson pointed out in Black Labor, White Wealth that in the 1960s, we only had 101 blacks in all of politics in the United States. We only had 101 or 103 blacks throughout all 50 states of the United States who was in politics. He came back 30 years later. Now we have over 900 in politics. Now we're over in the thousands in politics, and our situation is worse. Our situation is worse. No black caucus, no black PAC, no black organization, political organization, could say they did a damn thing for black people, because if they did, there would never been a George Floyd. There would have never been a Sandra Bland. There'd never been a Breonna Taylor. There never would have been a Trayvon Martin. They never would have been what we just had recently with the whites killing us, and now blacks thinking that they could be black overseas and slave overseas like in the old days and try to do that. And kill our own. Don't you know when they were hiring black back in the 60s, he would try to be meaner to the blacks than the whites, to try to prove to the white people that he was more whiter than them when it came to the black people. No, you don't support them just because they got black skin or melanin. You support them if they're treating you like kin, if they're doing you right, if they're talking to you right, if they're looking out for you right. Don't judge a politician by his words. Judge him by his past actions. Don't judge a politician by his words. Judge him by his past actions. Lincoln said he didn't give a damn about ending slavery. The only thing he wanted to do was save the Union. Lincoln said he didn't give a damn about ending slavery. All he wanted to do was save the Union. But he had to get rid of slavery in the South and keep it in the North. He had to get rid of slavery in the South, but keep it in the North. The North still had slavery. The North still was a slave community, a slave state. So in the South, they were set free, but he didn't have no power, no jurisdiction. He was trying to cause civil unrest. He was trying to stop the money supply of the South, because the South was manufacturing, had goods, and they would sell those goods. They can buy more guns than the North. They can buy more bullets than the North. They can buy more cannons than the North. They can buy more cannonballs than the North. So they had to have the slaves rebelling, so they were getting fighting on both sides from the front and the back. That's what helped the war. It wasn't about no damn slavery. Emancipation had been produced a couple of years ago by his general, who said, this is what we need to do. We need to do the Hannibal. We need to create them to have a fight behind the scrimmage line so that we can gain, because the South is kicking our butt. That's why when you look at the House of Congress, you see it's more Southern states have more power than the Northern states. That's why it's all about the South. And the nigga down there who was going up against Herschel Walker, yes, that's a nigga, because if he was really somebody, he wouldn't have had a struggle against a Herschel Walker. So his past is the reason why his butt was running last. His past is because of how his butt was running last. Because if he was a real Clayton Powell politician looking out for the people, he would have had no problem sending off an ignorant person like a Herschel Walker. But the fact that he had to struggle tell you that he was no brother. The fact that he had to struggle tell you he was no brother. He was like the same type of brother that did the Flint water crisis and took the water from the clean water and used dirty water and gave it to the people. That's what kind of brother he is, and he's going to have to prove himself different. And so all of those guys have never looked out for the people. They looked out for themselves. All of them have looked out for them people like themselves. Didn't you know, let me give you a hunch, Ralph Bunche won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's a few of the black people who won Nobel. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for tricking the Palestinians and the black Hebrews in Israel to allow Germans and Russian whites to come into Israel. Ralph Bunche, a black man from New York, tricked the Hebrew people, the black and Hebrew people, and the Palestinian people to allow white Germans, white Russians to come in there. And what did they do? The United States sent a military in there, and then they had a two-day war where they took over it and gave it to the Russians and Russian and German Jews. So Ralph Bunche did that. And Ralph Bunche, when Dr. King started talking human rights, he attacked Dr. King. Karl Rowland attacked Dr. King. When King became a human rights activist, all of these so-called educated niggas talking, Warren Wilkins, NAACP, go back and look, check your history, and to see what they did to Dr. King. In modern times, we will call the pickney. So they did. They treated Martin Luther King like he was a pickney. And if you want to verify to see who's real and who's not, you make them do the pickney test. Because pickney is like a cross to a vampire. So that's how you can tell who's legit or not. So now we're going through history and clearing up the mystery. So this is why you're not having black doctors, because what happens is that we have been directed to kill ourselves. You know that 80% of all the homes in the black community had a husband and wife. 80% of the homes had a husband and a wife. There was that single parent and stuff. That didn't start until after the Civil Rights Bill, because Patrick Moynihan, a racist, said the problem with the black family was that the black woman was too strong and she was holding on. And we had to pull her away so that we would create homes that were just the mother and children. So it was homes for mother and children. And like Dr. Siraj Ali said, how are you going to have a woman with children unless there was a man? And men went into boarding houses so and would stay there until the weekend that they could spend time with their kids. We did stupid stuff because we tried to get that little nice, fine house that they built, but didn't realize it was destroying the black family. It doesn't matter that we didn't keep supporting Public Enemy, KRS-One, we didn't, X-Clan, Tribe Called Quest, and we allowed the nigger gangster rap to come in to turn our women from young African queens into sex things because we didn't say anything. Why am I saying? I'm saying it's time to speak up. Your history tells you to speak up. You built the horror market. You built what they call the Sphinx by all white scientists say it was built 10,500 BC where all whites and when 6,000 BC were in the Ice Age as cavemen when you had schools, universities, technology, math, science, politics, religion. It wasn't until 6,000 BC when the ice melted in Europe and the Europeans were relieved from the Ice Age. That's why a lot of Bible people will tell you that the world was created around 6,000 BC because the world didn't start until the white man came out of the ice cage. The world didn't start until the white man came out of the ice cage. And that's why other places in the world don't match the Bible history, because if you take the Bible history back, which is from the coming forth by day and night, if you take the Bible back when you go back into the Naga Kadesh, when you take the Bible back and you go to the Ethiopian book of Enoch, then what you find out that the religion and the faith system was way before what they're telling you, because the black man of Africa had already knew God. And the black language says Karas, K-R-S-T, K-R-S-T for the Greek, for the European Greek, it's called Christos. For the European Greek, it's called Christos. But for the Roman, it's called Christ. For the Roman, it's called Christ. When you're talking Christ, you're talking an African word. When you're talking Christ, you're talking an African word. And when you're saying Jesus, you're talking Greek. Jesus is Greek. Christ is Roman or Latin. So you're speaking Greek and Latin when the brother name was Yeshua. Yeshua would have been the Hebrew name. Some say Yeshua Bandura would have been his name. But the name and the fame is not what you claim. What you need to claim is the fact that the Geneva Bible, the Wycliffe Bible, the Tyndale Bible all said that his skin was like the coat of a chimney. His skin was like the coat of a chimney. His hair was wool. The texture was wool. His eyes were like a flame, like of anger. When he comes back, he's coming back angry to get rid of house Negroes and to uplift the field Negroes. And it also says that his feet were like burnt bronze. The word brass is only been thrown in there now to try to trick your ASS. You know, the word brass has only been put in there now to try to trick your ASS, because brass was not invented until the 1600s to King James time. And King James scholars took out that his skin was like the soot of a chimney because they said it was redundant because burnt is burnt, black is black. But he was trying to get us off track. They were trying to get us on track and understanding that North Africa is Palestine, that North Africa is Israel, that North Africa is when you're talking about the Galilee. So when you're talking now North Africa, you're talking Christianity. See, so Christianity is an African religion, and they told you in the Bible that Europeans, that whites had nothing to do with the religion of Christianity. It was the job of Paul, who was mixed with white and mixed with black, to go to Europe and teach Europeans about Christianity. That was Paul's assignment. So here it is looking at you, that you follow a copycat. Don't you know that the first Christ that was ever painted white, that the first Jesus that was ever painted white was in the 1400s by Michelangelo? Up until that time, your Christ, your Jesus, was your Mary was black. And in the Vatican, they keep them black. So the Pope keep his Jesus black, but the white people keep their Jesus white. But when you're in Europe, when you're in Germany, when you're in Russia, when you want to go to the Holies of Holies, you got a black Mary and Jesus. But when you want to go to the Holy Holies in a city like a Bend Harbor, like a Detroit, like a Chicago, you're going to get you a white Jesus. So the Pope only worships a black Jesus, where black people worship a white Jesus. So there's something wrong with that picture intellectually. So when your God doesn't look like you and your heroes doesn't look like you, there's something wrong with you, and that's what you would do to your children. That's why now in 2022, when they did the doll test, black children are still saying white dolls are good, white dolls are beautiful, black dolls are ugly, and black dolls are bad. See, because we as adults, everybody born in the 50s, we screwed up and did not teach and continue to teach the truth. We screwed up. Everybody born from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you're all guilty of the crime which has injured the minds of our people. That's why our children are out here like they are. They're only reflecting what we put in them. They're only reflecting what we didn't do for them. We did not allow them to their history. And when Deborah McGriff in Detroit came in to the Detroit school system when it was worse than Benton Harbor and turned it around, only thing that she did was make black history legal to be taught, correct black history legal to be taught in the school system. She brought in Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Asa Hilliard. She brought in the great historians. And what happened to the Benton Harbor school system? Nothing, because we don't have correct history. What happened to the Detroit school system when they got black history? The attendance rate shot to the roof. The dropout rate went down to zero. What happened was that the math and science scores went to the roof, and that the group called Compact wanted to form a relationship with the school because of how they had turned around and did so well. And the only thing that she added was correct black history. That's why they want to attack critical race theory. And critical race theory is really some junk, because it was really more for the educational school system debate. Should we let niggas know about the history or not? It had nothing to do with uplifting the race. It was no critical race theory. The critical race was just an intellectual exercise on colleges. But the fear is that critical race theory might open the door so you will start knowing more truth. And the truth is that no place where the upper elite, educationally, financially wealthy white has went that any people has prospered. So European history is one of the worst histories that you will find in the world, next to the Japanese, because they murdered, killed, maimed, raped, molested. Wherever they went, they would send their worst of their worst to go to these countries to kill the people so that they could come through and purchase and own it. And that's why now only certain whites actually can own land free and clear in America, where every other person living in America can never own their land, and only have, they can only occupy the land or have an interest in the land. But that's why you always have to pay taxes on the land, because the government and certain people own the land, and you can only rent the land through your taxes. So that's a reality that we know, so that we're still the have and the have-nots. That has not changed. But everybody's wealth when they came to America was based on how many African slaves that they would have. The more slaves you had, the more land they would give you. And what they started doing, they would bump off the older Africans because they didn't want to feed them during the winter. And then during Juneteenth was a good time to try to get rid of some blacks. And New Year, especially because during Black Friday, it meant that you on Black Friday, you would try to get all your blacks together before Thanksgiving, especially the older ones, and try to sell them off cheap so you wouldn't have to feed them during the winter. So Black Friday was trying to get rid of all the slaves that were going to be eating too much and couldn't produce enough to get them sold out. And sometimes they got sold and weren't in use, they were just put down like a horse or put down like a dog, because the United States right now in 2023, according to the Dred Scott decision, said black people are not going to ever be citizens in the United States. And they based that on the ruling of the three-fifths. And the three-fifths is that that the blacks are still three-fifths human, and the three-fifths compromise is what gives southern states more seats than the northern states, because if you count your blacks or you count your slaves, that means that you have more numbers than a northern person who has less slaves. And that was a compromise so that the South would not rebel and not have another civil war against the North. That's how they keep it together. That's why you have more southern races than you have northern races. So you have more southern races than you have northern races. So, yeah, you'll have all of a northern races. So Biden has been there. He's a racist. And that the black pastors who endorse and support him, even though he lied and lied again, then you know those are satanic pastors, that they work for Satan. And they don't have a history of looking out for blacks. All they do is look out for the God they serve, which is money. The God they serve is money. Because if they were doing like Christ, then people would be doing right. So what I'm telling you is that our history should never be a mystery.
Amen. All right, Dr. You gave him a black history lesson, but let me say this. What can we do to help so we can have more black doctors?
The churches need to come together, and pastors need to say that, start having the congregation ask for more black doctors. We are now less than 1%. In 1889, we were 2.6%. Of all the doctors in the whole United States, 2.6 were black. Now we're less than 0.5%. At Wayne State School of Medicine, they got an Arab dean in there, an Arab Asian dean, and now they only admitted one black person out of 300. They only admitted one black person, straight admission, out of 300. At the same time, 34.5% of the first-year class now is Arab Asian. 34.5% is Arab Asian. And then you have 50%, which is 50%, which is European American, and it's supposed to be 1% Native American, but that's not even true because you don't have enough to make that number in the first year class. So, what you have to do is speak about it, preach about it, and then God will do something about it. Preach about
All
it,
right.
do something, and that's how we have to do it. We have to start making it. Demanding that, no, I want to see a black doctor. No, I want to see a black doctor. And then they need to say, are you a doctor or are you a nurse? Are you a doctor or you a nurse? Who are you? What are you? We need to start doing that. Stop being cowardly. Be proud. Because the God that we serve is supposed to say, that doesn't give you a spirit of fear. The God that we serve is not supposed to give you a spirit of fear. So if you're fearing the white man, that means you're not loving the God Most High. If you're fearing the white man, you're not serving the God Most High. So
All right.
A real Christian
right,
has no fear.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, let's take care of business. Really appreciate you. And Black History Month is our month. So every month you're going to give us some black history, and we're going to take it from there.
Right. And every Wednesday at 12 o'clock, if they go on the Zoom, we're doing the Blacks in Medicine. So if you can give them that site, go to Reverend Pinckney's site, post it up there. And we're giving you the history of medicine every single Wednesday. All the way through March, our contribution to medicine, past and present.
Sounds good. Let's make it happen. All right, Doc.
Thanks.
And on that note, we are out of time. Sunday, 5 p.m., Black History Month.